This is something that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it was something for me to think about in a way perhaps that I hadn't. And it may you as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the scripture is going to be 11 and 12. And Paul is encouraging Timothy about standing strong, about not letting his youth be an obstacle. But more importantly, he talks about not being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and nor of him, meaning Paul personally. This is in verse 8, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, there you go, Gary, and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I, and Paul, am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I want to talk a little bit about Paul realizing, as a person who persecuted the early church greatly and was feared by many of the believers because they knew what Paul's life was like. And then in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 9, you can read of Paul's conversion and how he suddenly was blinded as he fell off his horse by the great light of God's presence. And so in the book of Acts, I'm going to just quickly go there with you to show you what Jesus prophesied and spoke to Paul concerning his future. This was when Paul was led to Ananias, for Ananias to lay hands on him and pray for his eyesight to be restored and the scales would be removed. And we're going to look at Acts 9. This is kind of a companion scripture because I want to bring out why Paul wrote to Timothy what he said, because he had an encounter with Christ himself and Jesus spoke something to him that was very profound. And I want to pick up in verse 13 because this is after Paul had shared his vision and what Jesus had told to him. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many by this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon your name. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about when he was talking to Timothy. And Timothy, in verse 12, Paul said, For which cause I also suffer these things. Because he's thinking back to exactly what Jesus told him. You know, Paul, I know all those evil things you did. But I forgave you. And I gave you an opportunity to go right and straight with your life. And you're no longer a murderer. You're no longer a persecutor. You are no longer a one who is going to put my saints in prison. But I've called you, Paul, and it's a holy calling. It's a high calling. and your future does not look very good in the natural eye. But if you will continue to serve me, I will be faithful to use you, even in prison. And I think about my own call. And you need to think about yours, because there's going to be times in your life when you're going to think, what has happened to me? Or why is this happening to me? I thought Christians were supposed to have this high above everything and not be touched by anything. And suddenly we find ourselves in some seemingly precarious times. Well, there is another side to our faith, isn't there? There is a side of suffering at times. Do you remember the word long-suffering? Did you know that's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? That means that you may go through a period of time and it's not going to be pleasant. There are things God has put in your heart or will for you to carry out and to do, and you're not even going to get a thank you. Not from people. There are times our walk is like that, but we're compelled by the Spirit to do what we do. We all would like a day off, maybe a month off. But you know what? That may happen, but more than likely it won't. But he also said that, you know, there's a cost to following Jesus. And not everybody leveled with us at the time that happened when we got saved. But as we grow and we learn and we read and we study, we're prepared for trouble. So when it comes, most of the time, we know what to do. And if we don't know what to do, we can ask the one that we do know, because he promises, even in trouble, to be our helper, to be the one that goes before us, to prepare our way through things, to move obstacles that we don't even see yet. His eyes can see around that next corner on the highway of life that we can't see. But we can always be certain that it's not always going to be a pretty picture. We're all, if we haven't already, this isn't a doom and gloom message. This is a good message, because when the enemy comes in and takes a swipe at us from time to time, like Barbara said, if you read this book all the way to the end, we win. He may win a skirmish, but he'll never win the war. But I want to read some other things that Paul said. He said, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I am, who I have believed. And we all got to come to that place in our faith walk where we know whom we believe. You know, a lot of people tell us a lot of stuff, and I'm particularly thinking about COVID now, the political situation. Who can you believe? There is so much confusion, so many mixed messages, so many lies, so many diversions, so many cover stories, that it's getting harder and harder and harder to know who to believe. People say one thing and do another. People do one thing and say something else. And we need to settle it in our hearts that I know whom I believe, because God does not change. His word will abide forever. Even after everything else is gone, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Abide means to live in, to dwell in, to remain attached to. All the word that you've got down in your spirit, man, that not just here, but other places you've been, there's been, the word of God has been sown into your lives. Every one of you, you cannot say that there's no word down inside. It is there, and it is not going to be unfruitful. It is going to be there for you to stand on as part of your faith foundation. We talked about the foundation last week when we had the side of the building opened up and you could go out and look at it. And so we should not be ashamed. We should not find ourselves at a loss of, wow, I never saw that coming. God did, and he equipped you, and he gave you something to hold fast to. And he said, I know whom I believe, and I'm convinced. That's a very bold statement. When you know whom you believed, you've got to come to that place where you're fully convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him. So I would ask you to think about, what have you entrusted with him? And each one of you might have a different answer. But what have you given him that you trust him with? Do you believe that he can keep that? You know, we put our money in the bank, and right now that might be a foolish thing to do because there are schemers who are looking for a way to take everything you have in the bank right now. Legislation is being finagled to make sure that IRS has a deeper hand in your pocket. But what if you got really radical and just said, whatever I have and all that I have, I commit that unto the Lord. Now are you fully in agreement that you can trust God with everything that you have and the outcome? See, that's what Paul is talking about. And Timothy's only 16 years old. I mean, I could imagine, oh, that's heavy. But it's very true. How about your kids? How about your grandchildren? How about your job? How about your husband? How about your wife? How about your friends? How about your brothers and sisters? Do you believe and are you fully convinced that God is able to keep them? And he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Until what day? Until checkout time. And it might not be 11 o'clock in the morning. But that's how faithful God is, and how precious his promises are. So whatever you've committed to him, do a committal check today. I challenge all of us to do that. What have I committed to him, and what areas of my life that I'm still holding back? Because I'm not quite sure I'm ready to step over and make that 100% commitment with everything. Because that's what Paul is talking about, and that's what he's sharing with Timothy, and in this letter, which was put in the Bible, and countless millions of saints before us have read these words and been encouraged by them, but also challenged too. So I will just leave that with you, because it's a good word. It's a good word. And don't think that you're left abandoned by the Lord. You're not an orphan anymore.